this is Dylan, Allie, and my husband, Emery.
And we're the Moras.
For a while, our daughter had been asking us, when are we going to go to church? Why don't we go to church? So that really got us thinking. So I had met Nick Bethay through John Tyson Elementary. I worked at the registrar there, and they came and did Bible Club there for the kids. I knew they were really involved in the kids ministry, growing the kids' relationship with Jesus. And, we also had a couple friends that attend the church, and I reached out and asked for information, and we decided to give it a shot. And so we went to Cross Church one Sunday, and it's been great ever since.
So once we started Cross Church, some big things started happening within all of us. We started Growth Track, and after attending Growth Track, we kind of knew that, we wanted to take the next step. Karen was the first one to accept Christ. I was the second.
After a few weeks, Dylan and Allie gave their lives to the Lord. Nick Bethay sat down with them and really talked to them about what it meant, what it truly meant for them. He pulled us to the side after church one day and talked to us, and the kids accepted Christ. The day that the kids gave their life to Jesus, that whole day, just, it was surreal. Like, I wanted to cry, but I couldn't cry. It was just this really good feeling. The kids started to ask and talk about baptism. It was something that I had been praying for. I wanted to do it as a family. This was a huge step for us, and I wanted it to be something that we all were in it together. What's been really great about serving in the kids' ministry is it's like we're all learning together.
It's surreal how they just sponge all the gospel that's preached. You know, when you go back and you ask them questions about what occurred or what was said or what was read, I mean, it's like that. The kids are interactive. They take all the information, and to me that's awesome, because it's great that it starts at that age.
We didn't grow up going to church religiously. We went when we had to. That foundation was never laid out for us as children, and so the fact that we're getting to watch our children learn and we're there with them serving in the kids ministry, I think that's been a win for all of us. So our hope for our kids is that, they never stop going to church. And because Cross Church has the children's ministry, the Cross Students Ministry, college ministry, we know that they are set up to have a relationship with God and to continue that relationship with God.
We've noticed that our kids are eager to go to church. They're eager. When Awana's was going, they wanted to go to Awana's. And so that's something that I think the church provides, so that down the road, years from now, they can see that and they can continue to be a part of the church.
We're just so grateful to be part of a church that invests in the next generation, and that they truly do love our kids and want Jesus to be a part of their lives. Our church is so personable. People are texting you, people are calling you, they're checking up on you, they're checking up on our kids when they don't have to. And that's just something that we've never had anywhere else. Just to see so much love poured into our family has been just so amazing and welcoming, and it makes us want to keep pouring into the church as well.
Well, what an incredible story that is of the Mora family. Thanks for sharing your story here. I want to welcome our Pinnacle Hills campus, who's joining us via video here at the 11 a.m. service. I'm here at our Fayetteville campus. Fayetteville campus, why don't we give it up for our 11 a.m. at Pinnacle Hills? We are pumped to be able to join with you. We know we have people in our overflow here at Fayetteville campus. Also, we know we have many people who are still watching online at home. We're glad to have you. However you're joining us, we are glad that you are here together. Last Sunday, as you heard, we really had a fantastic Sunday where we called it Vision Sunday, and we poured out where we're headed over the next 10 years, which we've called the Decade of Love. And we're going to focus on what Jesus focused on. Our theme verse for this entire journey over the next 10 years is Matthew 22. It says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Christianity without love is not Christianity. If we say we follow Jesus but do not have a commitment to love, we are not really following Jesus. And so we're going to make love our highest priority and let that be our ultimate identity over the next decade together as a church. We introduced a phrase last week. You see our staff wearing the t-shirts today that really typifies where we're going. We're going to love like Jesus. When you don't know what to do next in your life, just choose to love like Jesus. So last week, we really laid out where we're headed. We gave you four lanes of love. L-O-V-E. We're going to talk through that beginning today with the letter L. And we're going to look at what it tangibly looks like for us to love like Jesus. And so we're doing something unique here. Obviously, Pinnacle Hills, you're watching via the broadcast today. And what we want you to understand is this. This is new for all of us, okay? We don't normally do our preaching this way. I have Jeff and Ryan who are normally alongside of me and preach where I am not. But this is the way we're doing it. For this series, we thought it was that important to connect all of our campuses from Fayetteville to Springdale to Pinnacle Hills all together for this significant time together. I'll still do my normal rotation, so I'm here at Fayetteville this week. I'll be at next week, the Fayetteville 8 o'clock, Springdale 9:30, and then Pinnacle Hills 11 as we just do something different, okay? I always tell our Fayetteville congregation, and I think it works with everybody, it really doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter if I'm in the room at Fayetteville and you're in the overflow or you're at home or you're at Pinnacle Hills. It really is not about me today. It's about the Lord, and He is everywhere. So I want to encourage you, wherever you're watching, just participate right alongside of us. If you feel like you want to clap, clap away. If you feel like you want to say amen, just call it out, okay? If you feel like walking out, stay put to the end of the service, okay? All those kind of things, all right? If you do have a Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to get there in just one moment. Let me briefly recap where we were last week if you missed it or if you need a refresher. Here's what L-O-V-E is going to be for the next decade of our church. We're going to focus on legacy. That's what we're going to talk about today. And our legacy as a church, what we desire is that we would have done everything in our power to reach the next generation. We'll talk a lot about that today. Really excited about next week. Next week, we talk about obedience to Christ's commission. It is our goal over the next decade to plant 10 churches in strategic cities, whether that's in America or the world. And here's our hope. We hope that 2,000 of you, whether you're from Pinnacle or Fayetteville or Springdale, wherever, would join us somewhere around the world, either in America or the world, going on a short-term mission trip. So I want you to begin praying about if you're one of those 2,000. And we're asking God that 50 people would leave our church. Sounds weird, doesn't it? 50 people would leave Crusher. But we're asking that God would call 50 people somewhere in the world to be a full-time missionary. So that's where we're headed over the next several weeks. And October 25th is our 150th anniversary of the church. We are an old, old church. Okay, we've been around for a very long time. And we're going to celebrate together on that day. And one of the ways that we are really bridging the gratefulness of what God's done in the past with anticipation for the future is we have given you already a commitment card. If you're in the room today, I believe those are available for you as well here at Fayetteville. I know they're on your seats. What we want you to do is, if you did not get one last week, take the one you get today and really take that home. Begin to pray about which one of the four lanes of love or even a few of those that you want to commit to on the anniversary of the church, October 25th. Now, some of you are a little hesitant, saying, man, you're asking me to sign up for a decade of working in the preschool ministry. I just don't know if I can do it. That's not what we're saying, okay? What we're saying is you just do what God is leading you towards right now. You're not making a 10-year commitment to anything, okay? You just go in what you feel like God's leading you to now, and the Lord will shift this accordingly throughout the next decade, okay? Let's turn to the legacy portion here as we dive into the passage. We're going to call today's message, Loving the Next Generation. Loving the next generation. And 2 Timothy 2:2 is where we're going to be. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I was taught this verse by a guy by the name of Bill Bornstein. Now, Bill and his wife, Pam, have a fascinating story. I worked for Bill when I served at Prestonwood Baptist Church in the Dallas area during seminary. And I think we got a picture here of Bill and Pam. Let's throw that up on the screen for you so you can get a visual here. Bill and Pam were extremely successful in business in Las Vegas, Nevada many years ago. Specifically in real estate, they were just dominating left and right, okay? When they made a decision to move from Las Vegas to Dallas, they sold their home, and this tells you how good they were doing at the time. They sold their home to a guy named Andre Agassi. Now, if you know who Andre Agassi is, you know what I'm saying. If you're younger in the room, you're like, Brian, got a clue who Andre Agassi is. Basically, imagine this. Tennis player, long hair, cross earring. That's all you need to know, okay? That was Andre Agassi. And so Bill and Pam moved to Dallas, and somebody invited them to a Christmas Eve service. Never underestimate the power of an invitation to church. They're sitting in the Christmas Eve service. Pam begins to cry as God began to prick her heart with the gospel and her need for Christ. And what followed ultimately over the next few days and weeks is that one of the pastors of our church led Bill and Pam to faith in Jesus, and their life was radically changed. We're talking about these were not church-going people. They were not followers of Jesus, not believers, and everything shifted in that moment. And God began to do an unbelievable work in their hearts. God ultimately called Bill to leave the business world and to move into full-time ministry, and that's where I met Bill. And I was a young seminary student, had no idea how to love people, no idea how to pass on the faith to the next generation. And then I encountered Bill and Pam. To this day, I have never met anyone who are greater disciplers of people than Bill and Pam Bornstein. I saw them year after year after year take one person or one couple or one family just over and over and over and over and pass on the faith again and again and again. You say, Nick, what was the number one thing you learned from Bill Bornstein all those years ago? I would say it to you this way. I learned 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Now, let me give you some context here so we don't just parachute in and you don't know what's going on. This is written by Paul to a spiritual son in the faith by the name of Timothy. That's where you get the name of the book, 2 Timothy. And Paul's about to die. He knows that he is about to be executed. And so he's writing a letter to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he's talking to him about all kinds of things. He talks to him about the word of God, talks to him about false teachers, and ultimately talks to him about what we're going to talk about today, and that is passing on the faith. Now look at verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust." Now that's a key word there. Underline that, circle it. Highlight it, do whatever you got to do to just make mention of that. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Think about your life as an individual Christian. What does it look like for the next decade for you to give your life towards loving the next generation? Think about us corporately, collectively as a church together. What does it look like for us to collectively reach the next generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It all comes down to that simple word, entrust. It is our responsibility, our burden to entrust the gospel to our children, to our grandchildren, and to the next generation in this community and around the world. You know, Paul gives us the pattern here for how to reach the world with the gospel. Now, if I were to ask you, hey, what's your best advice if we were going to try to win the world to Christ in 2020 and 2021, what would it be? You may answer something like this. Well, Nick, I think we probably need another Billy Graham who will go around to stadiums and arenas and preach to thousands, even millions of people at the same time. I think that's probably what we need to reach the world. Now, are those good things that happen through Billy Graham, other evangelists, church settings like this? No doubt about it. In fact, I was saved in a church setting like this today. How many of you here at Fayetteville or at Pinnacle were saved in a setting like a Sunday morning church setting like we're in right now? Okay, hands all over the room at Fayetteville. I assume the same is at Pinnacle as well. People get saved in these kind of settings. But here's what I want you to understand. My life was changed for the long haul by much smaller settings where people were over and over and over entrusting the gospel to me one-on-one or one-on-a-few. Now, we sometimes kind of discount a passage like 2 Timothy 2:2. Well, man, you're talking about one person. Like, surely we need to do more than just pass on the faith to one person. And yet I think this really is the key to reaching the world. Was Jesus around the crowds, yes or no? Yes, it's not a trick question. Yes, yes, he was, right? But where did he invest the bulk of his time? With 12. Spent time with the crowds, invested his life in the 12. Here's our legacy goal. We talked about this last week. Let me reiterate it to you again today. Our legacy goal is to leave a legacy of doing whatever we could to successfully reach the next generation and to position the church for the future. He said, that's kind of a big goal. We're going to try to reach the next generation over the next 10 years, position our church for the future. How in the world are we going to do a goal like that? It all comes back to that simple word, entrust. We read about it here in 2 Timothy 2:2, and what we're saying is we got to do a lot of entrusting in a lot smaller settings than what we're in right now. A lot of one-on-one or one-on-a-few with the next generation. If you take the word entrust and you look at that in the Greek language, it's the word paratu. It means this, to deposit or commit. To deposit or commit. So think about that word deposit. We're maybe more familiar with that in terms of banking. So probably at some point in the last few weeks, you went to the ATM at your bank or you went to the window and you deposited a check. Maybe you did that online and you put that into your account. Maybe even a better way for us to think about this is those of you who are parents or grandparents who you are making deposits for your child, and some of you are still wondering, why am I still making deposits for you? You are too old now. It's a different sermon, different Sunday. We'll get there at some point, okay? But what you need to understand is this. You put deposits into their account because that's your responsibility. It's your burden as a parent. I need to provide for my child. But once it hits the account, it is not your responsibility how they spend that money. They may blow it all on something stupid. They may invest it wisely. They may spend it wisely. But it's not your responsibility. That's a good way for us to think about this in a spiritual mindset. When we talk about making deposits for the next generation, we are to deposit the gospel, to deposit the word of God into other people. We can't control what they do with it, but we can make the deposit. Now, here's what I want us to understand. If you call Cross Church home, here's our goal for the next 10 years, okay? We're going to focus on this. We're going to entrust all that we can, deposit all that we can, commit all that we can as a church to reach the next generation. We can't control who comes to Christ, can we? We can't make anybody bend their will to Christ. We can't control what they do with the deposit of the word of God into their lives, but those are not our responsibility anyway. That's God's job. And our mission as a church is simply to make as many deposits as possible into the next generation as many times as we can. Now, part of the way that we are fulfilling this vision for the next decade, we talked about this last week, I'll talk about it again today, is we are creating a legacy team. You may say, well, Nick, what in the world is a legacy team? Or what does that have to do with my life? Well, as I said, you're going to have a commitment card. And if you want to be a part of reaching the next generation, we're going to ask you to join the legacy team. And you can do that in a few different ways I'll talk about here in a moment. But here's how we've defined the legacy team. It is a group of future-focused members who do everything in their power to help reach the next generation and position the church for the future. So these are people who just say, you know what, the next decade, all that I can, all that I've got, every part of my soul, I'm going to give to reaching the next generation and positioning the church for the future. Now, the cool thing about this is many of you are already living this legacy. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all spread out across our campuses who serve in next generation ministry. When I say that, here's what I'm talking about. You serve in preschool ministry, children's, student ministry, college ministry, or some form of young adult ministry, young singles or young couples, okay? In fact, what I'm going to ask you to do, both at Fayetteville and at Pinnacles, if you serve in any of those capacities, in any of those ministries, would you just stand right now so that we can recognize you? Come on, don't be bashful. Stand all over the room. There we go. Let's give it up for all these people at both of these campuses. Now, here's what we got a herd of them over here. I didn't even notice that. What I want you to understand is that as you looked at those people, I want you to notice something about their lives and about them. They're exactly like you. They're busy. They have a lot to do, but they have simply said this, man, I'm going to invest my life in reaching the next generation. And we believe that God's about to bring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more to the fold. We'll talk about that here in 1 second. As I told you, there are three ways that you can get involved in the Legacy Team. Some of you may say, well, I want to focus on one of these. Others of you will say, hey, I want to do all three of these, whatever God leads you to do. First way you can get involved is through serving. We just highlighted that. If I were to recount my time growing up in this church, I did that a little bit last week. I'll do it again today. My life growing up here is one of investment by lay people in the church, just normal people in the church who just said, you know what, I'm going to try to love on these teenagers or children. I'm just going to try to invest my life for their sake. If I'm honest with you, I can't remember any one thing that any one of them taught me. Now, that probably says way more about me than it says about them, but you know what I'm saying. I don't remember any of the Sunday school lessons I was taught, the lessons on a Wednesday night service. I just don't remember anything about that. What I do remember extremely vividly is this. I remember how they loved me. I remember Donnie Smith, Thad Hannah, taking my high school small group to the lake. I remember Donnie and Amy Grigg having me over to their home. I remember a guy named Jonathan Russell, who led my 7th grade boys small group, driving us around in his Jeep talking on a CB. Now, some of y'all don't even know what a CB is. Basically, like a redneck telephone, okay, that connected with other cars who were driving by, or truckers mainly. And so it just wasn't a good situation all the way around. And so I can remember sitting in his Jeep listening to God's Property and Kirk Franklin. Anybody remember that album? And us talking on the CB thinking, this is the greatest thing that I have ever done in my life. I wouldn't have articulated in the same way that I do now at 36 as I did at 13. But here's what I would say to you now. I was so drawn to a person in my church who just loved me, who just wanted to spend time with me, who just wanted to invest his life in me and just take me around and do stupid stuff like talking on a CB, taking me to Sonic. It really is that simple. Now, some of you may be leery about this. And I find that this occurs with people across any ministry. One of the major hindrances of why people don't step out and step up and serve in some capacity is they have like an unwarranted fear. They think, man, if I'm going to do this, man, I'm going to have some teenager ask me some hard question about the Bible or the book of Hezekiah. It's not a book, by the way. Or creation, and I'm not going to know what to say to them. I'm going to look like an idiot in front of all these 8th grade girls. I don't know what I'm going to... Most likely, they're not going to ask you those kind of questions. What they just want to know is there anybody at Cross Church who loves me? Is there anybody at Cross Church who will give me what I'm not getting at home? Is there anybody at Cross Church who is willing to just hang out with me and pour their life into me? And God's calling some of you to the battlefield of Next Generation Ministry for the very first time. Like just placing a burden in your heart right now. Some of you, he's calling back to the battlefield of Next Generation Ministry. Maybe there's a time in your life where you served for years in children's ministry or student ministry or college ministry. And listen, God may be calling you back now. Here's my encouragement to us. Come October 25th, let's flood. Think about the picture of a flood. It's all-encompassing, overwhelming. Let's overwhelm our Next Generation Ministry with new volunteers. Here's going to be our mantra for the next decade. No needs in Next Generation Ministry. No needs. You ever been to those kind of churches where somebody stands up at the end of the service like, well, we need help in the preschool ministry. We had one worker and we had 14 little two-year-olds and they, you know, tackled him and then beat him up and he's never coming back again. And, you know, thankfully, we're not in that kind of church already because we have amazing dream teamers and staff who don't let us get to that point. But the bottom line is this, let's go over and above where we make our staff come up with new jobs just because there are so many people who are so passionate about reaching the next generation. Sean Smith, our Spring Hill campus pastor, he sent me this quote this week I thought applied so well. It's by a youth pastor named Wayne Rice. He said, left to themselves, kids will always gravitate to the nearest caring adult. Whether that's a coach, a youth leader, a drug dealer, a gang leader, he says, we as adults get to decide. That's pretty good, y'all. Left to themselves, kids will always gravitate towards the nearest caring adult. We get to decide who that is. Would Christ Church be the open, loving arms who love the next generation in the next decade? Second way you can get involved is not just through serving, but through prayer, through praying. Some of you are very burdened for the next generation, but you say, Nick, I can't serve for whatever reason. I don't have any money to give towards the next generation. I just want to be a part of prayer. Listen, prayer is the most important aspect of the legacy team. Well, I'm going to say a statement, then I want us to all of our campuses to say that together. Prayer is the work. Can we say that together right now? Prayer is the work. Think about that statement in every facet of your lives. Prayer is the work. Missionary Hudson Taylor said it this way: it is possible to move men through God by prayer alone. Some of y'all came to church for that one quote right there. It is possible to move men through God by prayer alone. And here's what that means. God can do things through prayer, and God can do things through his own power that you and I never can do. I find great hope and peace in that. Can I say it to you a different way? It is possible to move the next generation through God by prayer alone. Can I just pose a rhetorical question to our church today, wherever you're watching from? Why not here? Why not now? Why would we not trust God to give us the next generation? You know, if you take a gander, I don't think I've ever used that in a sermon, take a gander through the scriptures, and you were to look at all the major movements of God in the Old and the New Testament, and you were to try to identify, well, what is the distinguishing factor of why God moved in that specific place? It had nothing to do with the location and its strategic nature. It had nothing to do with the socioeconomic status of the people. You know what I believe it had to do with? Is there a people who will simply believe God and believe in his power? If so, God just seems to move in that place. Can we believe God through prayer that he can move the next generation through our church? You can get involved through praying. Third way you can get involved is through giving. Through giving. I gave you a quote last week. I want to reiterate today and then go a level deeper here. It's by Chris Hodges. He said this: as the senior pastor of the church, it is my job to position the church for health in two areas, leaders and money. So when I go home from the office, what's the burden I carry? It is to position this church for health in leaders and in money. I can't do everything by myself. And if you knew me close, you would say, I affirm that, Nick, you cannot do much at all on your own. But God's given me the distinct responsibility to position this church for health in leaders. You say, well, Nick, what do you mean by saying that? I mean, in the people that we hire as a church to be our pastors and staff, to the people that we elevate into lay leadership. And I'm in a process of that, and I'm in an ongoing process of that, and I believe I'll be in an always ongoing process of that as long as I'm the pastor here. It just never stops. When you think about that, and you say, well, Nick, what kind of people are you trying to put into leadership here? Humble men and women of God who love Jesus, love people, and are passionate about the Great Commission. That's what it is. That's who we want to elevate here at Cross Church. But also have this burden that I'm responsible before the Lord and ultimately before you as your pastor to position this church for health financially. And you say, well, Nick, what does all that have to do with when you talk about being healthy financially? I cannot make anyone give to this church. I really can't. I can't loose the strings of greed upon anybody's heart and convince them that this is a good thing to spend their money on, okay? Here's what I do believe that I can do and need to do as your pastor. I need to provide a compelling vision that you want to be a part of. Hopefully you're getting the message of the decade of love, and hopefully you want to be a part of that. And secondly, I think I can give you confidence that we are stewarding your money well. Stewarding the money that you give well. There's a couple things that you should know, especially if you're newer to our church. And sometimes you come into a new church and you're like, well, how is this all working? Like, how's the church governance? flow with finances, and are they shady? Are they responsible? How do I need to feel about that? Let me give you a few things that hopefully set your mind at ease. We have a pastor's council of laymen and then a few staff alongside of me that are the financial accountability for the church. They get weekly giving reports. They get monthly meetings where they get spending reports. They can ask any question they want to about our finances. Alongside of that, we operate with margin as a church. Every single year, we undergo an independent financial audit of an outside group coming in, making sure we're handling things right. And on top of all that, maybe the most important thing that I want you to understand is this. We are personal givers to the church. This is not something we just ask you to do. This is something that we are involved in doing as well. And so when we talk about reaching the next generation, and when we talk about its connection to finances, maybe you're wondering, like, where are you going with this right now? Let me make the connection between reaching the next generation and finances. I'm going to do that with two challenges towards your heart today. First challenge is this. It's the challenge of tithing, Now, we have many of you who have been a part of our church or church in general for a long time. When I say tithing, you know immediately what that means. Let me explain it to everybody else who may be new to the faith or new to church. Tithing is when you give 10% of your income to God through your local church. The way that I said that is key. When Meredith and I give our tithes here, we don't think, oh, we're giving to the church. We are giving to God through our local church. This is the vehicle whereby we are believing God to move. Here's where I want you to see the connection between your giving and the next generation, okay? Do you realize that all of our next generation ministries, every single preschool, children, student, college ministry, young adult ministry, every single one of them and their ministries is fully funded by the faithful tithing of our people. Like, that's it. So you take all of our kids here at Fayetteville, and those of you at Pinnacle Hills, take all the kids in the preschool and children's ministry there, and take something like the snacks. We have no snacks apart from your giving. Who provided the snacks today? You provided the snacks today. In fact, I'm in a mode for the decade of love. I say we expand that to big church, and we do snacks in big church. Any all in favor at both campuses? Say aye. Okay, that's gotten more than anything all day. Don't know what that says about our congregation, other than we're hungry people, okay? Take the curriculum that we are discipling children and students with. You know who provided that? You provided that. What about the money to do fun things with all ages that just make it a great place for them to hang out, open their heart towards the gospel? You know who provided that? You provided for that. So thank you, church. When you give, when you faithfully tithe to our church, you are reaching the next generation right here in Northwest Arkansas. Let me give you a second challenge, and this is an over and above. Let me challenge you towards generosity. Now, in January, our Fayetteville campus is going to be 10 years old. Isn't that hard to believe? 10 years old right here. And so they have heard me say the statement that I'm about to make. Pinnacle, I may not have said it to you yet. But here's what I want you to understand. Generosity knows no percentage. You see, you may be surprised that I'm about to say what I'm about to say, because I've just talked about tithing as a biblical principle for your life, but I don't think the New Testament actually teaches tithing. Some of you are like, what? What's he about to say right here? I believe when you rightly understand the Old Testament and the New Testament together, the tithe no longer is the ceiling of our giving. It becomes the floor of our giving. And so I believe that God asks us to be generous. You say, well, Nick, give me a number. Like, what's the percentage I'm supposed to get to as a follower of Jesus? Here's an answer that you only learn in seminary. I don't know if you're ready for this. Are you ready for this? Thank you. It's like six people here ready. Pinnacle, I hope you're ready as well. Here's what it is. I don't know. I really don't know. It's consistent with what Paul said. Remember this passage? He said, each man should decide in his heart what he is to give. So when 10% becomes the floor of our giving, on top of that, that's not a you and me deal. That's a you and God deal. And you just got to do what God calls you to do in that way. Are you living a generous life? When we talk about the legacy portion of of the financial aspect of the legacy team. Here's what we're saying. You're saying, Nick, I'm ready to give over and above, to be a generous person, to position this church for health for the long term. I told you last week that key word for our church for the next 10 years is we want to be positioned. Positioned to respond. And this means we're going to save money as a church, put money in the bank as a church, to be able to say immediately when there's a need, we can meet that need because we are positioned in that manner. Now, anytime we talk about money, I talk about our own family. Not to raise us up, but to just say it to you this way, I'm not asking you to do anything that Nick and Meredith Floyd are not doing. We've been faithful tithers since the day we got married 15 years ago. And beyond that, every year about this time, September, we have a conversation. We say, do we feel like we can raise our percentage of giving to the church to fulfill the Great Commission? And probably over half of our 15 years of marriage, we have raised our percentage of giving. It's interesting that I'm talking about this today. Today is the very last Sunday of our budget year. We start a brand new budget next Sunday morning. So Meredith and I have already talked, and we have already made the decision this year. We are going to raise our percentage of giving another percentage to the church. You say, well, why are you saying all this? Again, I'm not asking you to live any kind of generous tithing lifestyle that Nick and Meredith Floyd are not living it right alongside of you in our lives as well. You may hear the money talk. Maybe you're new to our church and you're like, I knew it. As soon as I went back to church and talk about money, you guys must be desperate. Let me try to give you some perspective, okay? We're not desperate. In fact, if you're not giving right now, I'd just get you off the hook. We don't need your money. We don't need your money. We're doing great. We're paying all of our bills. We're doing great as a church. I want you to know that. Now, we've got some financial goals as a church for the next decade. We talked about that. We want to get out of debt. We want to position ourselves for the future. But what I want you to understand today is that I don't say this out of a, oh, man, I got to talk to the church about giving because if they don't, we're going to be in such a bad position. You know, and this panicky lifestyle. We're good. Praise God. Because of so many of you faithful people at Fayetteville, Springdale, and Pinnacle Hills who give so often. So I thank you for that. But if you're not a giver, here's what I want you to understand. And you may roll your eyes when I say this, but when you become a giver and you've seen God move, that's when you'll believe me. Giving is not for the church. Giving is for me. It's not for the church. It's for me. So why do Meredith and I give to the church? It's not because we feel compelled to, because we feel like we have to. It's because we need to do it. It's our way of living God's best plan for our lives. I hope you realize that, you know, God has a plan for every aspect of your lives. And it's not like he has 99 things that he speaks to. But finances just do on your own. It is a holistic approach here. And God's design and best plan for your life involves generosity. And so when you hear that and you're not a giver to the church yet, you may say, oh, whatever, man. It's totally for the church. In this room, or you're in the room at Pinnacle Hills, and you would say, I know what you're talking about, Nick. That's when you begin to amen, when you say, golly, I've seen God move again and again and again and again in our finances. You may be wondering, sitting here, well, is a legacy team just for rich people in our church? It's for anybody who has a passion to reach the next generation. Is it just for middle-class people in our church? It's for anybody who has a passion to reach the next generation. Is it for poor people in our church? It's for anybody who has a passion to reach the next generation. We want you to consider joining us on the legacy team in one of these three ways or in all three of these ways. As I mentioned to you, this is key, especially for you at Pinnacle Hills. Last week we announced that your campus pastor, Buster Prey, is leaving his current post as the campus pastor at your campus and will be taking on a new role as the leader of this legacy team. I wanted to give him just a moment to speak to our entire church about what he believes God's going to do through the legacy team.
I am so thankful for the opportunity to come alongside Pastor Nick and our wonderful family of faith in leading the legacy team. The Lord has been so gracious to prepare me for this moment by leading healthy teams to embrace our vision as a church for 27 years, and by life experiences, both wonderful and tragic, doing all we can with all we have to entrust the gospel to the next generation and prepare our church for the future is a holy calling. Martha and I certainly know life is short, especially after our 30-year-old son, Andrew, who was a worship pastor in Atlanta, went to heaven unexpectedly almost 8 years ago. We are, as never before, all about the advancement of God's kingdom. I invite many of you to join us as we live a legacy and leave a legacy through the Legacy Team.
Thank you, Buster. What a great word. Let me close with a picture, okay? I want you to imagine this pitcher of water. It's the Lord, okay? He is the living water. Amen? Bad joke. Okay. I want you to imagine that there's various times in your life where God does something great. Anybody ever seen that happen in your life? Seeing God do something great. Here's how we often treat that. That was good, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we kind of leave it at that. Other times, it happens like this, where God does certain things in our lives where instead of becoming a river whereby we pass on different things, we become a well. The things that God's done in our past and our lives just sits there stagnant. Here's the message of what Paul was teaching. With this, I'll wrap it up. Paul was essentially giving us five generations of passing on the gospel. I don't know if you realize that. He was essentially saying, what you have heard from me, so me, you, Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, saying, man, other people heard me talk about this stuff. He says, I want you to entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What we're about for the next 10 years is about this. The last cup on the line. But we'll just say the next generation. If you're honest, some of you are this person. And you say, man, God's done so much in my life, but man, I've never really been intentional on passing anything on to anybody else. And I really believe that this is God's call in my life. I want you to understand this. This is God's call in your life, regardless of the decade of love. Like, throw out the legacy team, throw out the legacy component of this vision, throw out Cross Church altogether. This is to be your call. And so are you being a river or a well? Are you passing on the faith, or, oh, it just splattered all over me? Or is it stopping with you? It's your choice, and it's our choice together as a church of, will we be the kind of church that stops here or ends here? I want to be a church that ends here, that we have seen several generations of people, one by one, by one, by one, who the gospel has been passed on to them. We have entrusted, deposited, into the next generation. Now, with this, I close. Okay, there are some of you who, if you're honest with yourself, this is you. Nothing in there. And you may say, Nick, you know, as you're talking here and you're talking about passing on the faith, I if I'm honest with you, I don't know that I've ever had the faith passed on to me. Like, I've never given my life to Christ. And so you know what? If you're in one of these rooms, or maybe in your living room, or you're in overflow today, and you're thinking to yourself, well, Nick, I'm trying to pour out to other people, but I have nothing to pour out. I want to ask you, have you ever experienced Christ in his salvation? Interestingly, we're using water. Only Jesus, the living water, can quench the thirst of your soul. And today, some of you, this needs to be your step, that before you can begin to be someone who passes on the faith, you have to once and for all have Jesus come in and fill your life. And so will you allow Jesus to quench your thirst today? I'm going to ask us at both of these campuses just to bow our head and close our eyes as we close our service today. And maybe you're that person. You say, Nick, I feel like you're speaking directly to me, man. I knew it before I even came in this room. that I didn't know God and that Christ was calling me to surrender my life to him. Maybe right now in this moment, you just sense the Holy Spirit just grabbing you by the shirt collar and just saying, it's time, it's time, it's time. Will you surrender your life to Jesus today? Only he can quench the thirst of your soul. Only he can make a difference in your life and use your life accordingly. If that's you and you say, Nick, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus, would you just pray a simple prayer, something like the Moras prayed that we heard at the beginning of the service. When they met Jesus, it was just something like this. Would you just call this to the Lord, just privately in the quietness of your heart, just say, Dear Jesus, today I turn away from a life lived for myself, and I turn away from a life lived for sin. And Jesus, today, I turn in faith to you. I'm asking that you would begin a process of change in me right now. Would you forgive my sin? And would you save me? And just utter this simple phrase to God as we wrap this up. In the best way that I know how, Jesus, I give my life to you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Today, if you just pray to receive Christ, man, I want to congratulate you wherever you're at, online, Pinnacle, here at Fayetteville somewhere. We want to rejoice with you. And one of the steps that we have given you to take is to text a number. We want you to text your first and last name. If that just happened in your life, we want you to text the following number, 479-343-8777. We'll leave that up there on the screens for just a moment. All that that's going to do is that's going to get you in touch with one of our staff. They'll reach out to you. We're not coming to your house to bug you this afternoon while you're trying to nap on Sunday afternoon. We're not doing that. That's an evil thing to do. We wouldn't do that to you, okay? All we're going to do is we're going to text you or we're going to call you, whatever way you're more comfortable communicating, and we want to help you get started in your walk with God. Again, your first and last name to 479-343-8777. Let me reiterate one more thing as we close, something that was mentioned here at Fayetteville. I'm sure it was at Pinnacle as well. Tonight is our online growth track. If you are new to the church and you're saying, what in the world is the growth track? Growth track is your path to involvement in this church. It's also your path to membership in this church. And so if you've been here the last 2 weeks and you're like, man, I want to get plugged into this. Man, I'm ready to go for the decade of love. Here's what I want you to understand. You need to join the church, and you do that by going through this class. And we're going to help you position yourselves, and we'll help you find a place of service that all happens through the growth track. Normally, this is a four-week class that we do. Tonight, it is all 4 weeks in one class. That sounds like a deal, all right? So you can go to crossroads.com this afternoon. You can look at the details for that. It's a Zoom format where you just click on, and we take it from there, okay? So hope you'll consider that. Pinnacle Hills, I'm going to ask Buster to come and close your service up there. Fayetteville, Phil, you can go ahead and start coming up here alongside of me. Online, y'all have stick around for the lobby. And I think that's everything I'm supposed to say. We love y'all. Y'all have a good day. Bye-bye.